You know, as I look out on the congregation from week to week, one thing is for sure is that we have quite a bit of mix of different types of people and different ages of people here. We have some that are older and very faithful to come, thankful for that, and some that are younger. But you know, as I think about those who are older in our services, perhaps you all never experienced some of the things that the younger ones have experienced here and continue to experience. And I have drugs in mind in particular today, and you know, for you who were done with school before the 60s, you probably never experienced too many of those things. But you know, when I was in school, they came up with a slogan, at least I think it was when I was in school, it might have predated me even a little bit, but they would come into the elementary schools and they would try to teach kids when they were young to avoid peer pressure and just say no. They'd tell you that over and over again, so hopefully that when it came to that day that someone would offer you something that you could remember back and just say no and walk away. And certainly that's good advice. It's often mocked today. You see drug t-shirts with just say no on them and stuff like that. And you know, it's mocked as like anything is, but just say no is certainly good advice, not just for that, but it's good advice about many of the peer pressures that kids face today as well. And certainly my hope and prayer is that our younger ones, when they are faced with these things, that they would just say no. This afternoon, though, just say no is not my subject. Actually, it's just the opposite. It's just say yes. Just say yes. Not to the peer pressures of this world, mind you, but just say yes to Christ. Just say yes to Christ. You see, saying yes to Christ can lead to great blessing. And what I'd like to do this afternoon with you is to look at some examples in the Word of God of where people said the word yes, what we would call the word yes today. We'll see as we go through Scripture, it's not always exactly the word yes necessarily like we'd like it to be, but it is nonetheless the word yes. And we're going to see how some of those people, even during discouraging times, said yes. And we'll see the blessings that came from it. So let's begin together in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 26 here. Verse number 26 of Matthew in chapter 9. And just going to read a verse that kind of ends the thoughts of what's coming before. But in verse 26 it says, "And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land." Now, the reason that the fame went abroad into all that land was because of a miracle that took place here and miracles that had taken place. And we see in particular here that this wasn't just any old miracle that took place. Jesus here performed a miracle where a little girl was dead and he brought her back to life, restored that little girl to life. And people understood what took place and people began to talk about Jesus, began to consider, in fact, is this the Messiah? So the fame spread out and many that were sick, many that were lame, many that were blind, heard of Jesus, heard the miracles that had taken place. And some of them understood of their lot in life. There was no way that they were ever going to get out of their situation. But when they heard of this man Jesus, who was performing these miracles, they began to look towards him and try to seek him out. Now look here in verse 27. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." You know, I think one of the amazing things about this little verse here is what these men are calling out to Jesus. You see, these blind men weren't with Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. They weren't there when John the Baptist was indeed crying out, "Behold the Lamb of God." They weren't there to hear all the words that he had said. They weren't there to see all the miracles that were performed or to hear about all the miracles that had been performed. But you know what? They had heard enough. and they recognized Jesus for who he was when many others did not. You see, many thought Jesus was a prophet. Many thought that he was. Some thought he was a scoundrel, right? The Pharisees thought he was a scoundrel. People thought all kinds of things about Jesus. But some thought that he could be indeed the Messiah. These men in particular believe that. You see, as they call out to Jesus, they don't just call out after Jesus. They say, indeed, thou son of David. It's a messianic title. Thou son of David. They recognize that Jesus was the one who had come indeed to set up his throne there upon this earth. And we understand that Jesus will do that. But they looked and they heard about the miracles, and they knew indeed that this is who Jesus was. Of course, that could only come through the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Only through the Holy Spirit revealing it. And they cry out to Jesus. They say, have mercy on us. What does that word mercy mean? It means compassion. We're going to see that in a few verses today. Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us, Jesus, thou son of David, Messiah. And in verse 28 it says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. Able to do what? Make them see, right? That was the question. Do you believe that I am able to make you see? Jesus is clearly asking them a question about their faith, whether they believe that he is able to do so. Now, the answer to the question is really a simple yes or it is a no. Now, because these men were already seeking Jesus, we understand these men are believing that Jesus can do this. So out of faith, you know, we can guess what their answer will be, because they say unto him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. We don't say the word yea anymore, do we? We don't say that. Like, if we do, it's got an H at the end. We're all excited. Yea. But this is yea, meaning yes. That's how we say it today. Yes. Jesus asked them if they believed that he could heal them, and they replied, yes, Lord. Yes. Now, Jesus is going to put forth his hand to heal them. But pay attention to his words here in verse 29. For here it says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. You see, their healing in this case was tied to the affirmation of their faith. You know, there are times when Jesus walked over to someone and just healed them. Right? Just like the lame man we talked about earlier today. Jesus walked over to him, he healed him. Just like that. There are times that were some that come in. They were asking Jesus to heal their son or their daughter. We'll see here in a minute an example of that. And it was because of the faith of the parent that the child was healed. But here, this miracle in particular was tied to these men and the faith that they had. When Jesus asked them if they believed they could be healed, they didn't say, well, I hope so. They didn't say, well, you know, that is why we came. We were kind of hoping maybe you could. They gave a positive affirmation. Yes, Lord, I believe. A positive affirmation of their faith. You know what? Their faith ended in sight, didn't it? It did for them. Verse 30 says, and their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Can you imagine the joy that these men must have felt? I don't know how long they've been blind. Maybe they've been blind from birth. Maybe they'd gone blind in their life because of some disease or another. Lots of things that can cause blindness. But these men were blind. I can't imagine. The very first thing that they see is thou son of David, Messiah, Jesus, looking at them. You know what? I'm sure that they were glad when Jesus asked, do you believe? They said, yes, Lord, we believe. Now keep that in mind and turn over with me to Matthew in chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 in verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, for those who have been going with us in our study through the Gospel of John, one thing that we have learned in our morning hour is that Jesus never went anywhere on accident. Everywhere that Jesus went, he went for a purpose, led by the Spirit, indeed led by the Father, and he went there indeed for a reason. And as you read this scripture here, it says that he went into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Some believe that he actually went outside of Israel here. It may have been that he just went to the borderland. I don't know. It's not real clear. But it would seem as if that Jesus has departed away from the multitudes for a while, because at this point in time, he's still surrounded by the multitudes. They're coming after him all the time. And here it would seem as if he's withdrawing, maybe for a chance to pray, maybe for a chance to be alone. But no, it's not just that, folks. He's there for a purpose. There's a reason. And in verse 22 it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Here we have a woman who's not from Israel. She finds out that Jesus is up there. This woman's a Canaanite. And she comes into him. And you know, I think this scripture is maybe even more amazing than the last, because she cries out to Jesus with that same messianic title, thou son of David. Here this is a woman who is not an Israelite, a Canaanite. She's not even a proselyte, folks, someone who is of a foreign nation and came in, because they're considered Jews. This woman is definitely not considered a Jew, as you'll see here in what Jesus says. She's a Canaanite. But you know what? She's lived next to Israel long enough. She's heard the stories of David. She's heard about a Messiah. She's heard about all those things. She has at least some rudimentary knowledge. And then she hears about this man, Jesus, who's going through and he's causing the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, all of these things take place. And she knows. How? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit shows that this is the Messiah. This woman recognized it when many Jews didn't. It's amazing. You know what? Anywhere else in Scripture, when someone called out to Jesus, Jesus would have indeed stopped. He would have listened. And then he would have likely healed. That's what Jesus did everywhere he went. But you know what? He puts this woman through some testing. Some real testing. In verse 24 it says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. When Jesus came to this earth during his earthly advent, he was sent to the nation of Israel. Now we know that there were Gentiles during that time that were saved here and there. We know that some of them were healed, but his primary goal, his primary ministry, was indeed to the Jewish people. To them to spread the gospel. And that's what Jesus is telling this woman by his actions. He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not sent to you, a Canaanite. I'm not here for you. I'm here for the Jewish people. This woman wouldn't be swayed. Wouldn't be swayed. She loved her daughter, and she knew that Jesus could help. Knew that he could heal her. And Christ replies again in verse 26, but he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now gather what's happened here. At first, Jesus ignored her. That was the first thing that took place. When first introduced, she called out after him. She vexed the disciples. Jesus seemed to ignore her. Then she gets closer. She calls out to Jesus. He said, "I'm not sent for you all. I'm sent for the Jews." And now she said, as she's gone on and she's saying, "Lord, I know you can do this." Now what does he say? He calls her a dog. Now, that was a derogatory term that the Jews used for the Gentiles. There's a lot of derogatory names towards a lot of people today. We try not to use them. But this is what a Jew would call a Gentile, a dog. And you know what? Many would have left and went back home when Jesus ignored them. Many would have left when he said, "No, I'm not sent to you." And you know what? A whole lot of people would have left offended when they were called a dog. Not this woman, though. Look here. She says, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Verse 27, the word "truth" here is the same Greek word, "nehi," that is used for the word "yes" in the scripture that we just read, where the blind man said, "Yes, Lord." It's the same word, the same exact word. Jesus calls her a dog, and she says, "Yes, Lord, yes." Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table. Well, I tell you what, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? She acknowledged everything that Jesus had said. She did. Acknowledged everything, every bit of it. Recognized that in his sight, she truly was a dog. Just like me and you. That's what we were. But even then, she said, the dogs eat of the master's crumbs. And she's saying, "Lord, I just need a crumb. You see, that's all I need from you is just a crumb, because I know you can give it. I know you've got much more. But I just need a crumb for my daughter that she might be healed." In verse 28, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." You know, we don't see too many places where Jesus is saying that to people. He says, "Great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus was impressed by this woman's faith when she said, "Yes, Lord." And her daughter was healed because of her faith. And I'm sure she left the side of Jesus that day thankful that she didn't leave shut out. Now, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 11. Now, these things may seem a little bit random, but I promise you in the end we're going to unite them all together. Going to unite all of our yeses together. John in chapter 11. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to be in John chapter 11 as we look in our morning study there as we're going through the book of John. So I'm not going to go into a lot of great detail, but we're going to seek out our yes statement here the best we can. Now, what has taken place here is this, is during the ministry of Jesus, he has formed a very good friendship between Lazarus and Martha and Mary. A very good friendship. And Lazarus becomes sick while Jesus is away, a few days away. And he becomes sick unto death, and of course, they send for Jesus because they know indeed that he can heal them. But by the time the messengers have got there, he's already dead. We'll talk about all that next week and the timing and all that takes place. But I want to pick up in verse 21 where Jesus comes now into Bethany and speaks to Martha. In verse 21 it says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus had caused the dead to rise before. But you know what? It had never been this long. It had been right after the moment, seemingly. Not very long after, anyway. But now this had been 4 days. Seems now as all hope is gone. The Jews believe that the soul departed from the body around the fourth day. There's just no hope that he could be restored to life. So Jesus tells Martha he will rise again. She thinks indeed he's speaking about the resurrection when those old prison bars are broken and the dead in Christ shall rise. That's what she's believing. But verse 25 says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this?" This is a great statement here in verse 26, isn't it? You see, this statement isn't just written to Martha. This statement is written to whosoever. Whosoever, that is, whosoever believes in Christ as their Savior will never perish. It's a promise. He says to Martha, "Do you believe me, Martha? Do you believe me? Do you believe that I am the way?" Verse 27 says, "She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She says, yes. Yes, of truth. Same words in the last two examples, the same Greek word. Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. That is to say, I believe that you are indeed the Messiah. The other said, the Son of David. She also says, believes that he's the Son of God. You know what she's saying? I believe that you're God in the flesh. I believe in your deity. I believe you are the Messiah. Yes, Lord, I believe. And folks, when the saints of God cry out to God, "Yes, Lord, I believe," great things happen. Look with me here in verse 39. Let's skip down to verse 39. Says, "Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Folks, that's a miracle. Did you catch that? He's bound in his feet and his hands. And he came forth. Jesus said it was because of Martha's belief there in verse 40. What belief? When she said, Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. She answered Jesus with a yes. She got her brother back. She wasn't asking for it. She didn't believe it could happen necessarily. Wasn't even thinking of that. Thought that was a way gone time. That's what took place. Now I'm going to look at a couple more examples this afternoon. And the next couple we're going to look at, it's going to be a little bit different. You're not going to see necessarily a great miracle that takes place. But you know what, folks? Not a great miracle takes place every time you say, Yes, Lord. I want you to turn with me over the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. Another familiar piece of Scripture here. We're going to look in verses 14 and 15 to begin with. It says, This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when he had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, is yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now, of course, the verses we read is after the death, after the burial, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here it tells us it's a third time that Jesus has appeared unto the disciples. The Gospel of John is near at a close at this point in time. And Peter, the man who said he would never deny Christ, that he would be there and fight till death by his side, and yet fail, and denied him three times. Jesus looks at him now and says, Peter, do you love me? Peter answers, Yes, Lord. Same Greek word. That yea is the same Greek word in everything that we've looked at so far. Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, Feed my lambs. That is what? Peter, I have work for you to do. I have a great work for you to do. Feed my lambs. That is feed those little ones of the faith. The little ones. Feed them. In verse 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So we see that Jesus continues to ask Peter these questions. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? We won't get into all the details of the chapter and what all these words love means right now. But Peter says, Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Jesus says, Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, that is feed those who are not just young in the faith, but feed those who are grown up in the faith. Feed my people, Peter. Feed them all. As I said, there's no great miracle that takes place after this, yes, unless you count it as the miracle of service that took place after this, because who was it that preached the first true gospel message there at Pentecost? It was Peter. When 4,000 were saved, who was it that first took the Word of God to the Gentiles? It was Peter, not Paul. It was Peter. You see, Peter answered, "Yes, Lord." And great things happened in the kingdom of God because of it. Now, I want to show you one more example of a yes statement in the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus says here, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." You say, "I don't see it. I don't see the yes statement, John." Well, it's right there in Greek. Same Greek word as we have in all the other texts. Here it's translated, "even so." Even so. Same word. Same meaning. It means yes. Yes, Father. Jesus is saying, "Yes, Father." You see, Jesus here is saying yes to the will of God, that His truths indeed are known among babes and yet hidden to those who think they are wise in and of themselves. Jesus is saying yes to the Father. And the fact is, as you go through the ministry of Christ, you see Him say, "Yes, Father," to everything. "Not my will, Lord, be done, but thine." Jesus is our ultimate example of a yes man. And by the way, that's what we should be too. Yes men and yes women. When it comes to the leading of the Spirit and the drawing of our Father, we're to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Father." Now, I told you I was going to try to tie all these things together. All these common answers, that nahi, that yes word, how do they all tie together? Well, they tie together in someone saying yes to God, but folks, it's deeper than that. Because that "yes, Lord" is spoken out of faith. You see, faith is what ties all of those things together. Faith that Jesus was the Messiah. Faith when they cried out, "Thou Son of David." Belief that He was the very Son of God. Belief that He was able to accomplish all things and do all things. Belief that His will is best. You see, faith unites our passages together. And in this last example of Christ saying yes to the Father, it is our ultimate example indeed of how we are to trust God in everything, no matter what it is. When He calls out to us to reach out in service, we should say, "Yes, Lord. Whatever it is that You want me to do, wherever it is You want me to go, whatever it is You want me to say, I'm going to do it, Lord, because You've asked me to do it. And when I follow the will of God, I know that there will be blessings in the end, whether it's in this life or the life to come. There is blessing for a following after the will of God in our life." My friends, it is a natural reaction for the flesh to say no. It is. It is the natural reaction for the flesh to say no. It is the natural reaction of the flesh to say maybe. It is the natural reaction of the flesh to say, "I need some more information so that I can make an informed decision." When God calls, He expects the answer. Yes. Yes. Before I end, I want to just share with you two verses from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 22. The last two verses of the Bible. I want to read those to you. Verses 20 and 21. It says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." It's the final salutation. But verse 20, it has that phrase, "even so." We saw it earlier. It's the same word. The same Greek word, yes. Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." And John said, "Yes, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus." The hope of the New Testament ends with a statement of faith. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. I hope today that you are looking indeed for the coming of Christ. That you are looking in faith and you, like John, can say, "Yes, Lord, come quickly." Folks, we've never been closer than we have been right now. Never been closer than we have been at this moment. Are you looking for His coming? But you know what? Because we know that He's coming, it ought to make us more diligent in our service to say, "Yes, Lord, right now." Every one of us here is getting older. None of us have been older than we are today. Every one of us gets a little bit closer every day to our own death with the appearing of Christ. We need to be about our service and laying up rewards in heaven and not just here on this earth.